Well, the fact that J.R.R. Tolkien was keen to utilize some of the aspects of the Saga of the Volsungs for his own literary narratives and his own mythological worlds is a question that's not even up for debate. And of course, Tolkien's works are extraordinarily popular, and many are keen to study the aspects in which Tolkien utilized some aspects of Old Norse literature. Do you find that to be significant? Do you find the fact that Tolkien utilizes some of the Saga of the Volsungs in his own work to be something that should be looked into further? Do you see that as something that's not really a big deal? Somebody who is just familiar with the Old Norse language and mythology and literature and incorporated, maybe even borrowed some of it for his own mythological realms.
Oh, I think that it's wonderful that Tolkien used that. And one of the issues is that I see Tolkien as part of the Volsung story, the Volsung tale, which goes on from starting in the 4th and 5th century, and it's still going on today in science fantasy and whatnot. Tolkien is just an adaptation, as is Wagner. Wagner used the Volsung saga. Tolkien, you know, when I translated the Saga of the Volsungs, Volsunga Saga, the reason I translated it is that I wanted to use it in one of my classes. I had this wonderful position, professor of Old Norse. And so I taught courses on this. It turned out the Saga of the Volsungs was out of print. And that was because of the aftermath of World War II, the misuse of the whole thing in the Nazi period and all that. And I couldn't get a copy. I had the only copies that were around were some William Morris copies from the 19th century. And despite the fact that they're wonderful, they're pretty inaccurate. So the thing is that once I translated it, I became aware of the connection with Tolkien, is that Tolkien also had a translation. And at the time I was doing this, I was interested in Tolkien. You know, he had a wonderful job, something like mine, in which he knew all these old literatures and whatnot. And he picked up very early that the Saga of the Volsung is the major text if you're trying to find things like different peoples and powers and rings and vengeance and whatnot. And Tolkien, I remember there was a bit of an argument going on that Tolkien himself didn't give a lot of credence to the Saga of the Volsungs. And yet it turns out years later that he actually translated it as one of the first things that he published. And it was given out a few years ago by his son. So I think it's quite wonderful that Tolkien used this, adapted it, and in a way of an oral storyteller, picked out what we were just talking about, the important themes, the important elements, carried it forward.
And the historical themes too, right? I mean, could it be said that he was, I don't know, perhaps one of those scholars that looked at the glass as being half full, you know, the writers of Rohan basing those on historical peoples and so forth?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Is that the thing about Tolkien, which I really appreciate, is that he looked at this tale and considered the historical and the geographical and cultural differences that are going on here, and he sorted it out. And one can look at the book. Well, I hope when people who are listening, when and if they read this thing, they go through it. They think of it in geographical terms, and Tolkien did that exactly. And I think that's one of the basis of how he came up, you know, his idea of Middle Earth and whatnot. Of course, the idea of Middle Earth comes from the mythology of, you know, Midgard. But how he divided it up is not that distant from the idea of the different peoples and the different areas in the Volsung saga.
And I will certainly put a link to your translation of the Saga of the Volsungs in the description below. In addition to the Saga of the Volsungs, Dr. Bayok, you have a website, oldnorse.org, which is quite honestly, just a treasure trove of information and resources regarding the Old Norse language, Old Norse sagas, the mythology, and everything related to that. And you've also published some books, the Viking Language series, which teaches Old Norse. You know, it teaches one to read and speak and write Old Norse, which I think is so wonderful. And of course, I'll put links to those books in the description as well. But, you know, wouldn't that be something if somebody could pick up a copy of one of your books and become familiar with the language? I think that would really aid in their understanding of the saga of the Volsungs, not least the numerous other pieces of Old Norse literature we've discussed in past episodes of the podcast. But for those not yet acquainted with your Viking language books, could you tell us a little bit about them?
Okay, that's the Viking language books. It was a big project. I you know, landed with this quite wonderful job being professor of Old Norse. There are not many of them, and I think it's just a wonderful thing that UCLA had such a position. And so I was teaching Old Norse and Old Icelandic runes and things like that every year. And as I was doing it, it occurred to me that the books we were using, wonderful examples of scholarship, were rather old. They're from the 1920s, and some are really based in the 19th century. So each time I would teach a class, I'd sit down and rewrite how I would do a book. And eventually, after a huge amount of work, the thing is, Old Norse can either be, it's again one of these glasses half filled or half empty, can be extremely hard, or you can sort of figure out a way to teach it, I think, in a reasonable way. And I ended up writing a series of textbooks, Viking Language 1, and then a reader Viking Language 2. And they think, answer a need of trying to explain the grammar in a way that connects it with the society by reading texts right from the start. And it's based on word frequency, which is a modern thing. A group of Icelanders, when the computer revolution first started, went through and did a word frequency of the saga texts, and they came out with some really wonderful results. Is that the first 70 words, most frequent words in the sagas, and there's 750,000 individual words in the sagas, but the first 70 of these make up something like 70% of all these words in the sagas. Now, when you think about it, that turns out to be prepositions, you know, in and very simple words, on and stuff like that. But the 71st word is the word for man, mother. So basically, what I did was I took and divided up the 50 most common nouns, the 50 most common verbs, the 50 most common adjectives, and we come up to 250 words, 246 actually, because there are fewer prepositions. And these are the words that make up something like 89% of all the words in the sagas. So if you learn those, you can pretty much read the basics of Old Norse. So the book is based on that idea, that instead of having examples of obscure words, you have examples, and you get all the irregular verbs and whatnot in such things. So those are what the books are based on, sort of an idea to make Old Norse, take the memory out of it a little bit, and to make it easier.